Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
But good evening, everyone. Welcome to church. We are so glad you are here. I'm excited about preaching tonight. As you know, you may not know this, but my husband is actually away in Australia right now. I'm missing him. He's gone for like way too long. And I need him to come home pretty quickly because according to my children, I'm doing a lot of things wrong. Apparently, I don't snuggle right. I'm like, how do you snuggle wrong? But apparently, according to my four-year-old daughter, I don't do it like Daddy does. He has the cuddle technique that I don't have. I'm like, fine, I'm working on it, guys. I'm working on it. The other thing is, too, I feel like I'm going to Target too many times with Drew gone. Like, usually when Drew's here, he helps, like, ebb the flow a little bit. I literally went twice in one day this week. And I'm like, Drew, you need to come home quickly before the bank account gets delivered to Target. But I miss him. He actually got to preach at our old church that we came from in Australia last night. He was telling me the story, which I think is hilarious. So one thing I love about America is you guys are like, you shout back, you holler back, you know, you get into messages. Yeah, see? We're going to be doing that a lot tonight. But Australia has yet to get that revelation in some churches. So it's a little bit of a different atmosphere. But he's saying he's preaching in the middle of it. This one guy just stands up and goes, "You go, girl." And he was like, "Oh, cool." So anyway, you go, girl. Drew, if you're listening, you go, you go. But I'm excited about tonight. As I said, for those of you that don't know, we're in a series at the moment called Accelerate. How many people have been loving it? I have been loving it too. So this whole series is about how to accelerate all the different areas of our life. If I had to pick a favorite message though in this series, I have to give a shout out to last Sunday night when we had our 3x10. We had three of our incredible preachers there. If you weren't here, you should be suffering a big case of FOMO right now. It was incredible. So I just want to say another big thank you to our awesome leaders that poured out so magnificently last week. I just heard story after story. People's lives were radically impacted because of your story. So thank you for being awesome. All right, so my message tonight is I want to talk about something that you might have heard a few times around church, but I bet you've probably never heard somebody really stop and explain what this word means. And that is the word altar. Everyone say altar. Okay, so we hear that, we're going to come around, we're going to invite you to the altar, we're doing an altar call. But I don't know about you, I don't think anyone had actually ever stopped and really explained what the altar is, why it's important, and how it actually, you know, approach the altar. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today. And I'm telling you, I actually preached this message probably 2 years ago. And I'm kind of bringing it back, not necessarily because I really wanted to, because I really felt God say, no, this is the message for this service. And I'm telling you, I couldn't shake it. I tried. I gave God a list of other really cool options. I wanted to do a message called Pray and Slay. Like, how cool would that have been? Nope, that wasn't the message. This is the message tonight, okay? Because I really feel God wants to do something in you, which is something he did to me about 3 years ago. And that is give me a revelation on what the word altar actually means. So tonight we want to not only just talk, I want to definitely give you some great information about what the altar is, but honestly, I'm preaching tonight to lead to a moment at the end of this service where we're going to actually bring heaven to earth. We're going to invite Jesus to come and do what only he does best. So I'm not here to inform you tonight. I'm here to lead us to a place of transformation. I don't know about you, but I've already made the decision. I'm not walking out of here the same way I came in. So come on, I'm preaching to myself. So you may as well believe it's going to be an amazing night. So even if you heard this message a few years ago, which is funny that I preached a message on the altar 2 years ago. For those of you that don't know, we were in the AMC movie theater at Otay Ranch, and we didn't even have an altar back then. All we had was this awesome red bar. Does anyone remember the red bar? How many people were back with us in the theater? How many OGs in the house? All right, a couple of you. Yeah, I am very thankful for our building that we can access the altar without the red bar. Let me tell you, though, how I came about having my, like, revelation, which is another Christian word we probably should explain more. How about we use Oprah's term? Had my aha moment about what the altar was. So it was about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, that my husband and I started being in the process of dreaming about South Campus. It was something where I was a welcome pastor, so I helped look after a few things at church. My husband was a connect pastor, and we knew that it was in our pastor's heart to plant a church campus down here. So we began to dream about it, didn't necessarily know that we would be the campus pastors, but knew we'd be a part of it. And in this journey of God really preparing me for what was to come, I had this realization that there was some stuff in me that I needed to deal with, because I knew that there was an opportunity to come and really lead this campus and lead it strong. But it was in a couple of different conversations, because I have great leadership who aren't afraid to tell me the truth about some of the ceilings on my life. And honestly, even just sitting with God and realizing, man, I have some ceilings. There's some bits of my heart that are not soft, they're hard. And I had this aha moment where I realized, man, if I don't deal with some of the stuff in me, I'm not actually going to be able to access everything God has for me. And God gave me a supernatural love for this city of Eastlake before I even lived down here. And I loved it so much that I knew that I needed to let God do some stuff in me so he could do some stuff through me in Eastlake. So this is when the word altar took on a different meaning for me. This is when I realized that I didn't need the altar to just be a word. I needed it to be a verb in my life. I needed the altar to alter me. I needed to live a life that was altered. So that's the message title that I want to call this message tonight. I want to talk about altered. How living an altered life, where you take the word altar from just being a noun and put it as a verb in your life, and you can see God accelerate your life in all areas. So we're about to get into this, but before we do, I want to just go ahead and pray. God, we thank you that you are here tonight, Lord. God, and I thank you wherever you are, Lord, freedom is. Wherever you are, God, transformation happens, God. God, I thank you that you're already going to work in hearts of people, God. God, we make a decision today that we're not going to leave the same way we came in. Lord, we invite you to do what only you can do, Lord. Come into our hearts, Father. Lord, take out the bits that don't belong there, God, and put back in what you always purposed to be there from the beginning. So, Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what is the altar? What is the altar? Now, I don't know how many people were raised Catholic or went to Catholic high school like me. Okay, a bunch of you. So that was me. I went to a Catholic high school. So when someone said the word altar, you, like me, probably got this picture. I think I have a picture. This, I think, actually looks very similar to the altar at my high school. So this is what an altar is as a noun, okay? So it's a like kind of a piece of furniture, the holiest of all the furniture at church, where it's like a flat surface which offerings are put on the top. And it's like part of a ceremony. So this is the altar. But do you know, when we're talking about the altar tonight, I don't necessarily want to talk about the piece of furniture. Because if you look around this church, we don't have one of those fancy bits of furniture. What we do have is this bit of carpet right here. So it is a great carpet. Yes, it is. Thank you, Tony. It is a great carpet. And hopefully we're going to have some people coming up here and experience how great this carpet is a little bit later. Did you know that the Bible talks about, like, gives references to the altar over 400 times in the Bible? I think if God says something once, you should listen. When God mentions something 400 times, I think we should listen for sure. I know that the altar is more significant than sometimes we give it credit for. I think it's time as a church, and me as the church, really wake up to understanding that every week we get an opportunity to come to this space, to come to the altar and be altered. So do you know the altar isn't just like an Old Testament thing? It's a New Testament thing. So the first time the word altar was ever used in the Bible was way back in Genesis. So right at the beginning of when the Bible was written, it talks about when Noah, Noah, the guy with the ark, when he got out of the ark, one of the first things he did was set up an altar to Jesus. And then it pops up all along the Bible. It continues to pop up in the accounts of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Gideon, and David. So in the Bible, you're going to see all these references to the altar. Now, here's the thing. Like, all of those stories are actually thousands of years apart. So every altar probably was made of different things, depending on where it was and when it was. So when I'm talking about the altar tonight, and when Jesus talked about the altar in the Bible, he actually wasn't talking about a physical altar. He's not talking about a bit of furniture. What he's actually talking about is a place, just like what I said there, it's actually a place where you can bring an offering, where you can actually take something, so you can leave something and pick something up again. So the altar, according to our friend the dictionary, it represents a place of consecration. So an altar is a designated space where a person consecrates, submits, is grafted, sacrifices themselves, as well as a place where a person celebrates, rejoices, dedicates, honors by giving an offering to celebrate a significant victory. So that's what an altar is. It's a place where a sacrifice is laid down and a celebration is picked up, where something that costs you something is put down, but something that's even better is picked up in its place. There's this song, you guys might have heard it before. If not, we're going to play it at the end of this message. It's sung by a band called Elevation. They're out of a church in North Carolina. And the song is O Come to the Altar. So I was listening to that song in that moment of preparation where God was really doing something in me in terms of understanding what the altar is. And I was feeling really overwhelmed just by my lack. I'm like, God, how can I possibly step into the future you have for me? Don't you know? Like, I don't think I can do it. Like, there is so much gap between what you need and where I'm at right now. There is so much gap. And I was listening to the song, and there's a line in the song that was so powerful to me. It says this: have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink of the well? And that summed up exactly how I felt in that moment. I had come to the end of myself. I had nothing left. And I know that I needed the altar to be more than a piece of furniture. I didn't need a bit of furniture at that time. I needed it to be a place that I could come and drink from. I needed to drink from it and know that in my weakness, his made strength. His strength is made perfect. I needed to know that I could bring all of the bits of me that weren't perfect and he could perfect them. So I needed that. So that song ministered to my heart. And in that moment, I realized that people get drinks from the well not just by sitting still. There actually needed to be an intentional walking over to the well. I don't know if you guys know a lot about wells. I don't know if people have wells at their house anymore. But to actually get water from a well requires a bit of action from ours. It actually requires like turning something so the bucket can go deep and the water can come up. And that's really the process God was talking me through. He's like, Emma, I have a space where you can encounter me and I can actually, you know, answer any thirst you have. I can fill in the gap for any insecurity you have. Why aren't you letting me alter you by my altar? So we don't need a physical altar today, but we really do need revelation of the space we can make in our heart that can be an altar. I want to read a scripture to you tonight. It's found in Romans 12, verse 1. It says this: therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices. Some versions say this: or your hearts as a living altar. All your hearts as a living altar, holy and pleasing to God. So the scripture is saying, therefore I urge you, don't let the altar just become a piece of furniture that brings up that image we just showed before. Let the heart inside each one of us become a place where we can actually make an offering to God and leave our old and pick up God's new. I'm calling the message tonight Altered because here's the thing I've realized. It's not just coming to the altar once. It's actually living a life that is altered. I'm telling you, I go to the altar probably about 52 times a day. I do it in my car. I do it while in the playroom cleaning up after my kids. I do it in the shower. I'm telling you, there is so many moments. I really need an altar moment so God can alter the things in me that aren't meant to be there. So tonight, if you don't remember anything, can you remember this? The altar should be way more for you than just a religious piece of furniture. You should have revelation like I did that our hearts can actually be a living sacrifice, can be a living altar for Jesus to do his work. It's an internal positioning our heart can take. And you know what I love is that when I look at that picture of the altar, to me it brings up a lot of thoughts of religion. Because when I was in my school and it was a very religious school where going to the altar was really a religious act. What I love about changing our mindset from the altar being a physical place to being a spiritual place is it takes all the religion out of it. Actually, the altar then is the ultimate act of relationship. It actually means because God first loved us, we can actually approach him as we are, where we're at, just with our hearts, which I think is incredible. All right, so does everyone think they get kind of like what an altar is? Okay, so I want to talk about why. So why did God write about it 400 times? We know what it is, but why? And more importantly, why should it matter? Why should it matter to me? Why should it matter to you? Isaiah 64 verse 6 says this, "We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our religious deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind." I love the Bible. It's pretty plain speaking. So why the altar? Because the Bible says that we're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And just like that scripture says, that because we're all sinners, that like leaves, we can wither and fall and sweep us away like the wind. Because we're all lost and broken, because we're all not perfect. There was only one perfect person, and that was Jesus. Because we're all a little bit bruised, a little bit broken, we actually need to be altered in our lives. Like, we are never at a place where we are in the fullness of who God created us to be. So that's why the altar matters, because each of us, no matter how well we're doing, no matter, you know, how many good things we've done, it doesn't matter. We will never not need to be altered by the power of God. John 10:10. And if I get any like scripture tattooed to my body, this would be it. I love this. I'm not going to. If Drew rings, don't tell him I'm getting a tattoo. It's all fine. John 10 verse 10. It says this, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Yeah, you should clap at that. That's time to get excited about it. So listen, because sin exists in the world, it kind of means that we all got a terminal diagnosis. When we had sin, it means that we were all infected with something that was going to send us to death. But here's the good news. We know the good news. Because Jesus died on the cross, he gave us the anti-venom to any poison that sin could give us. And not only that, not only do we get to live, we actually get to thrive in this life. And that scripture says we get to have life and life in abundance. So why the altar? Because I know for me, there are so many times I'm not living anywhere close to the abundance of the life that God wrote about in John 10:10. I know that because of whatever, I am so far removed from actually the joy that I know God has portioned for me, for the purpose that I know God has portioned for me. Maybe you're the same as me tonight. Maybe even just hearing that scripture reminds you that God has not put you on this planet to survive. He's actually put you on this planet to have life and life abundantly. Come on, that's some good news. So I actually could talk about this, but I think it's time, because this is a message, a bit of a teaching message, so I think we need to liven it up a little bit. And I always think it's fun just to embarrass people and get them to do dangerous things. So this is the point in the message where you're like, really? And kids, don't try this at home. We're going to try something. So I'm going to have Travis. He knows what he's doing. And all right, Jorge, you looked at me. See, you should look at me. That's the first rule. You don't look at me. All right, I want you guys to go right to the back, like go right to the back wall. All right, so we're talking about abundant life, and we're talking about how because we have an adversary in the devil who, you know, comes to kill, destroy, that we don't sometimes live the life that we're purposed to. So it's kind of like this, and these boys are going to show us. So with Jesus, Travis, Jorge could run in a straight line straight to the stage. But, oh, you can do it. All right, show it. Go on, show off. Oh, he's going to beat you, Jorge. Go. All right, so that's life with Jesus. We can see we're living in the fullness. This is what happens, though, when this is what sin does. It puts something on our eyes. It gives us a filter that we have to see through. So I'm going to have these boys close their eyes right now. And you're no cheating. Jesus knows, okay? Jesus knows. I'm going to get you guys to do the same thing, but with your eyes closed. And it is a competition, right? All right, how many people think Jorge is going to bring this home? All right, not very confident, Jorge. Oh, how do you think Travis is going to bring this home? All right, so we're going to do a little, this is what happens living life, staying unaltered, living an unaltered life. All right, ready? On your marks, get set, go. Oh, this could be so dangerous. Oh, I don't know what's happening here. Actually, that wasn't too bad. Oh, and he does it. I was actually pretty impressed. You still need Jesus though, okay? All right, just because you did that so well. So come on, an unaltered life, so living a life that never has a moment where you encounter Jesus and let him alter what's all the gunk that's inside of you. It's kind of like Travis. He made that did not look like relaxing or pleasant. That looked fairly awful. I don't want my life to look like that, pretty much. Galatians 5 verse 16. Yeah, laugh at Travis. It's one of my favorite things to do. It's good for the soul. There you go. Galatians 5 verse 16 says this. So I say, everyone say, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then, oh, you can say it all. Yeah, we're doing all this? Whoa, we can do it. This is going to take us a while. I'll just read the rest. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite. Oh, I've already said that. The opposite of what somebody needed to hear that twice. I'm going to say it a third time because God really needs to. And the Spirit, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And it gives us desires that are the opposite. I'm just reading the same thing. The two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Does anyone ever feel that? Like, I don't know. You know that cartoon where it's like the good guy on your shoulder and the bad guy? I feel that that's my life. Like, they put my life in cartoon form. That happens to me all the time. Like, Emma, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's like the tug. What that tug actually is, it's actually the fight the scripture's talking about. It's like your flesh and your spirit are fighting. Like, you know what it is, ladies? This happens to me more often where there's just a really good juicy bit of gossip and you so want to contribute. You know something so good that's going to, you know, really add to this conversation. So you're like leaning in, but your spirit's like, don't do it, Emma. Don't do it. You know what fight I'm talking about. Or it's like maybe the fight where, you know, it's been a tough month financially and you just think, man, it would be so easy just to miss tithing this month. And you're leaning in, you're like, oh, it'd be so easy. Everything in you is like, but then your spirit's like, don't do it, don't do it. That is what this scripture talks about, the constant fighting with each other. So it means that you aren't free to carry out, the scripture says, your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So what that means is God gave us free will. So it means anytime we can actually choose to go with the Spirit or we can go with our flesh nature. So that's why it's so important that we live an altered life, because an altered life means we are regularly encountering the Holy Spirit. And just like that scripture says, the Holy Spirit guides our life. No one wants to be Travis. Nobody wants to run through life worried about running into things or worry. I don't want to have Travis run through life worrying if he's going to sue the church because he breaks his ankle. Nobody wants that. Okay, the Holy Spirit guides our lives in those moments where we can recognize that He is the only one that can alter us. It's an intentional decision. Okay, I don't want to let the dysfunctions in my life drive my car. Because I know if it's the dysfunctions driving the car of my life, I'm going to drive straight off a cliff. I know it to be the case. Instead, I want the Holy Spirit in the front seat because I know He's only going to lead me to good places, places that are going to give me life, like John 10:10 says. And not just life, but life in abundance. So this space down here, it's not a magic carpet, which is a bit of a bummer because Aladdin made magic carpets look super cool. But I think it's more like a car wash. So, and I'm talking about this space down here, but you know, as I said before, you can enter an altar moment with Jesus wherever you are. There's nothing special about this carpet. Though I think every Sunday, what is special about this carpet, just when it says in the Word of God, when two or three are gathered, there Jesus is. I think there's something special about corporately when we create a space to be an altar. And it's kind of like a car wash. So I don't know about you, you've heard it by my husband a few times. We have a Prius. Now a Prius is in need of some TLC. And the other day I took it to the car wash and the guy, the guy that waves you in, he's like, oh, it's been a while, right? I'm like, I felt Prius shame even more. I was like, yeah. So it's kind of like what happened to my Prius. I went in, that Prius was dirty and disgusting, and it had like bugs like smushed on the front. So it was actually kind of hard to see to drive, which led me to Soapy Joe's in the first place. But who knows, I came out the other end of that car wash, and it was sparkling, it was clean. I had an unobstructed view of the road. That's good news for everybody right there. That's kind of what this carpet space at the front is. It's like a car wash. You can come in. It doesn't matter how dirty you are, how many dead bugs you have on the windscreen of your life. I'm telling you, this is the place to clear it up, and you're going to go back to your seat shiny, brand new in the name of Jesus. Okay, are you still with me? Okay, so what is the altar? I think we got that. We know why the altar is important, because honestly, we can't alter ourselves. We need the power of Jesus to change us. But honestly, those two points just led me to this, and this is the real meat of what I want to get into tonight. And I want to talk about how. Talked about what, we've talked about why. Now let's talk about how. How can the altar alter you? How can the altar alter me? I kind of, just because my husband's here, I was going to do 3 points because that's kind of his, but I'm just trying to be a little bit extra, so we've got 4 points tonight. Yep, that's right. Point bragging. There we go. So 4 points to how you can live an altered life, how you can let the altar of God, that place in your heart where you actually invite God in, alter you. Point number one, you need to admit that you need altering. I'm telling you, none of this works if you think you don't need Jesus. You know, even starting South Campus, I can't help but notice there's been sometimes a bit of a reluctance when we open the altar for people to come forward. And I realize that's just because for a lot of people, they just have no idea what's going on, which is why I really wanted to do this message and why I wanted to tell you why we get so excited about the altar. Because what we're actually doing is inviting people that we know have some bugs on their screen, are driving around dirty, that can come and get washed by the truth of who Jesus is. But I'm telling you, don't be somebody who stays in their seat or stays stuck in their life because they can't admit that their car is dirty and the bugs on their screen are meant to be there. I'm telling you, this series is about acceleration. If you want to accelerate in your life, you can't do that without admitting that you need the need for a savior in that acceleration. Sure, you can be successful without Jesus, but I'm telling you, true acceleration can't happen without the King. So Jesus is like the key in every car. So I could own a Ferrari, and a Ferrari could be the most, is that still a cool car? Is that cool these days? Cool. Ferraris, Lamborghinis, I don't know. I don't know anything about cars. I own a Prius, people. You know this. Okay, so Ferrari, as awesome as a Ferrari is and as awesome as our life can be without God, if God really is the key, like how awesome can a Ferrari be if you don't actually have the key to turn it on, is my question. We can't accelerate in life without Him. We need the altering power of Jesus to rev our engines. And because God is the one that created the engines of our life. When He put us together, when He spoke us into being, it says that He knit us together in our mother's womb. Because He's our creator, He's the only one that knows actually how to turn our lives from existence into truly living the life God purposed for us. If you're not accelerating in life right now, maybe ask yourself that question. So this series, I know there's been a whole bunch of things that have been talked about that have really got me thinking, you know what, in this area of my life, I feel like I've stalled a little bit. I feel like I've just got a car parked in the driveway and I'm actually taking it out for a spin. So maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your finance, relationships. It doesn't really matter what it is. I'm telling you, God wants to be the key that kind of revs the engine in that area and actually sees the acceleration into, like John 10:10 says, a life that isn't just good, but is exceedingly abundantly, more than you could imagine, that is the abundant life God purposed for you. Here's the thing. When we don't admit that we need altering, it has some consequences. And I could be the one, don't shoot the messenger, okay? This is just what the Bible says. So this isn't my opinion. This is straight Bible. And it's message version, all right? So it's getting real. You ready for this? All right, this is an ouchy one. It was for me anyway. James 4 verse 6. You're cheating on God. So if you don't let Him alter you, or you don't let yourself admit that you need altering by Jesus, you're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He is a fiercely jealous lover. And what gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So first step tonight, admit you need to be altered. I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but I'm so glad that I grew up in a church that loved me enough to tell me the truth, that told me pride, keeping me in my seat, not responded to Jesus. All it was doing was stopping me living the life that God purposed for me. So maybe tonight, step one is for you. Maybe it's just an acknowledgement that, you know what, without God, my life isn't going to be anywhere near what it would be with Him. And because He made my life, I need Him to take my life from where it is to where it's going. Step one, admit you need God to alter your life. Step two, invite God in. So God is a gentleman. I don't know if you knew that. Like, God is not the guy that, like, you go, He's knocking and then you open the door and He, like, comes into your house without being invited. That is not God, who God is. Because God gave us free will, all He does is actually knock at the door and He's just waiting for us to open it. So I think there's a lot of people that have, you know, actually felt going into this night, there's some people that I'm sure have never heard the knock from God, but there is way more people that I think have actually heard the knock of God and have actually been way too content letting their God stay on the doorstep rather than inviting Him in. I'm telling you, we've become numb to the knock of God, and I'm telling you, it does no good having God on the doorstep when we need Him in our house. Amen. Revelation 3 verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. People's relationship with Jesus can't accelerate if He's still on the doorstep. I mean, that's awesome. What does God want to come into your life for? It says because He wants to have tacos with you. He wants to come in and be your friend. It says the Holy Spirit is a helper. He's a friend. People are so scared to invite Him in, but all He wants to do is come and have relationship with you, get to know you, talk about something. You know, like, that's, God is actually a friend. He's to be embraced, not to be scared of. We need to invite Him into our lives. So you shouldn't invite a stranger into your house. I get that. I don't buy anything anymore on Craigslist because my husband won't let me, because once I did it and it was a stranger and I thought he was cool, so I invited him in and he came over. I was like, who's this guy? I know. He judged me already. Don't worry. So I know you're way more sensible than me on that. But I'm telling you, for some of you that even don't know Jesus, Jesus is not a stranger. He's the God who made you. So even if you're sitting out there right now and you're like, I don't even know what this Jesus is about, I'm telling you, invite Him in. He is not a Craigslist stranger. He is the God that made you. He authored your life. He is for you, not against you. So come on, let's not leave God waiting on the doorsteps of our life. Let's invite Him in so we can have a meal with Him. So step one, admit that you need altering. Step two, invite Him in. Are you ready for step three? Sacrifice. Yeah, I'm going to let that there. So here's the thing. We talked a lot about what altars are, and we just made it sound pretty casual. Like, an altar is somewhere where you bring an offering. If you actually look at all the references in the Bible of what an altar is, the offering that they were bringing is often animals, like lamb, sheep, goats. I don't know, were goats sacrificed? I don't know. Birds. They sacrificed birds? Oh. I don't know why that's worse than lambs. I'm like, oh. How do you think things get sacrificed? Things get sacrificed because someone needs to take a knife and kill it. So my third point tonight is sacrifice. Accessing the altar, or your heart becoming a living sacrifice, actually requires something from us. It was funny, tonight some of you said to me, kill it up there, Emma, kill it. And I'm like, oh, little do you know what that word is actually saying. I want to say it right back to you guys tonight. Kill it, guys, kill it. The question for me is, what has God called you to kill tonight? Because I'm telling you, an altar is only powerful because of what actually happens on it, which is the death to something that is an offering to God. You know, we avoid talking about this bit of the altar because the altar, look, it's so clean and nice and this nice bit of carpet. But I'm telling you, in the spirit, this is a bloody place. It is where people put to death things. It's sticky. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. It costs us something. But I'm telling you, if we could look in the spirit, this altar right here is where people have laid down pride. It's where they've laid down control. It's where they've laid down even their dreams. There are so many things that have been put to death here on this altar. The altar is only as powerful as the sacrifice that you've put on it. Did you know in Hebrew, the word altar actually means to slay, to sacrifice. Its actually whole purpose is bloodiness. How thankful are we that we don't live in Old Testament times? Which is good because I have no idea where to get a lamb. If I had to sacrifice one, no idea. I think I could get a bird though. That was good news to me. I could get a bird. But good news, we don't live under law. We live under grace. The New Testament came. Jesus died on a cross. So I'm telling you, the bloodiness is in spirit only. Yay. The altar requires sacrifice. It doesn't work without it. But here's the good news. And we talked about that the altar is two things. It's a place to put things to death, but it's actually a place to pick up something new. God, even in the Old Testament, never asked people to sacrifice something just for the sake of it. It was because he was trying to, not because he was trying to take something from them, but actually because he was trying to get something to them. Same for then and same for now. To live an altered life means living different to the rest of the world. So the rest of the world says, no, I'm going to hold on. Living in the kingdom means I'm willing to put down on the altar that which needs to die so God can give back to me the fullness of life. Ephesians 4 verse 17. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this. If anyone's going to back you up on anything, I think God backing you up is a good thing. That there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go into sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him. You've been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. I'm going to say that again. We don't have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside. To live an altered life, one that sees our life accelerate from where it is now to where God has purposed it to be. It means that we can't avoid the altar. We have to run to it. That even though sometimes the pain of sacrifice, the pain of even admitting first that we need a savior, that we need to be altered, second, even the pain of inviting him in, but thirdly, the pain of sacrifice keeps us from the altar. But I love that what that scripture says. You do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything connected to the old way of life has to go. Fourth and final step as we come to a close tonight, and having the altar alter you, of living an altered life, is this. Pick up the new. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person or a new creation. The old has gone and the new life has come. My daughter, my four-year-old daughter, Georgia, just started swimming lessons. And she had this pair of swimmers or bathers, whatever you guys call them, swim trunks, bathers. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, we call them togs in Australia. I'm bringing that word back. Togs, no, swimming bathers that she really loved. I know, go with it. But they were nasty. They just did not, all the elastic had gone in them. It kind of had gone this weird green color from the chlorine. And I just couldn't take my daughter to her swim lessons looking the way she did. So I was wanting to take her to Target, my favorite place, to get her some new swimmers. But she refused to let go of her old one. So we had to have this whole come to Jesus moment where I told her, Georgia, it's okay. You're not going to lose something in this. You're going to gain something. So we know what happened. We went down to Target and we got some pink unicorn swimwear happening. Not one, we got three swimmers, all right? I know that's a silly story, but I kind of feel that's the same for people tonight. How many people are holding on to old things when God wants to give you your own pair of pink, shiny unicorn swimmers in the spirit? You know, so often we get so scared of the altar because we're worried that we're going to lose something. Can I encourage you tonight? The altar is not where you lose something. The altar is where you pick up something new. This is the sort of things that God exchanges right here on the altar. He gives us his big for our small. We get peace for our fear. We get faith for our doubts. We get identity for our insecurity. We get beauty instead of ashes. We get wholeness instead of sickness. We get provision instead of lack. We get victory instead of defeat. We get forgiveness rather than bitterness. We get strength instead of weakness. We get dancing instead of mourning. We get His Spirit for our flesh. And we get salvation for our sin. I'm telling you tonight, you know what the altar is. You know why the altar is. My question is, do you know how the altar is going to alter your life tonight? I'm telling you, my life was changed, not once, but over and over again because of moments where I offered up my heart as a living sacrifice or a living altar to God and let Him come in and alter my life. I'm okay to live an altered life, even though it's painful sometimes, because I know all I'm doing is letting go of my old so I can pick up God's new. When was the last time you could say with certainty that you actually gave God space to alter you? You know, that can be quite a challenging question, because even though I had a revelation 3 years ago about what the altar is, I know I often have to remind my heart that, hey, you're not in control here, that God is the God who is actually in the front seat of your car. And I need to come back to the altar again. I need to make that decision to let go of my old and pick up His new. So tonight, we're gonna have an altar call, because we can't talk about something and not encounter it. So I talked at the beginning about how there was a song that really led me to this revelation of what the altar is and the significance. And I've asked the band to learn it tonight so they could play it over you. So we're just going to take a moment and they're going to sing this song. And I actually would love for you to, you can sit or stand or do whatever, but I want you to listen to the words of this song. At the end of the song, we're going to give everyone an opportunity that wants to respond, to respond. And remember, it's not even about coming up here, though we'll invite you to come up here. It's actually just about inclining your heart to heaven and doing exactly what we talked about, the four steps. Number one, admitting that you need to be altered by Jesus. Number two, inviting Him to be the one to come into the house, to the knocking to be answered and for you to invite Him in. Number three, be willing to sacrifice, to put to death things that you know aren't His best for you. And number three, to pick up the new for you. So come on, let's listen to this song tonight. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in Jesus' name.
Are you hurting and broken thin? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father.
Come to the altar.
come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
God, I just thank you, Father, that we're a church of people that live altered, God. We're a church of people that don't understand the what of your altar, God. That even goes further than understanding the why, Father. But God, we're a people, Lord, that know how to access your altar, Father. God, that know how to admit, God, that know how to invite, that know how to sacrifice, and ultimately, God, how to pick up the new for our old, Lord. God, I don't know everyone's story here tonight, God, but I know, Father, that every person has something old they need to sacrifice on the altar tonight so they can pick up something new from you, Lord. So, Father, I just declare over every heart right now, God, God, that you are giving them something new, God, that you are ending the fight between the spirit and the flesh, God. God, that you are giving them victory in the spirit, Father, to have courage to put down what needs to be put down, to put it as an offering to you, Father, so they can pick up the fullness of the life that you offered for them. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, Father, to change hearts tonight, God. God, to make every heart open, Father. Lord, let there be heart transplants in here tonight, God. People receiving the fullness of who you are. God, I just thank you, God. I declare right now, God, I see lack disappearing, God, and instead provision being in its place, God. God, where there is sickness of body, God. God, I speak wholeness in Jesus' name. God, where there is fear, God, where there is doubt, I speak faith in Jesus' name. Be filled with faith in Jesus' name. God, I thank you where there is sorrow, where there is depression, I speak joy into that situation. I say the joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. God, I thank you that you are taking away weakness, Father, and in its place putting strength, God. God, I thank you, Father, you're making all things new. All things new in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, I feel a touch of heaven. I know that we've gone over, so if you need to go, please go. But I'm gonna ask the band to stay and sing this song one more time. If you know you need to be on this altar tonight, not because it's a magic bit of carpet, but because you need to make an external declaration that I'm gonna live a life altered for you, that I'm not gonna stay the same, then please, I invite you to come down. If you need prayer specifically, our ministry team will be able to pray. But come on, let's believe tonight that we could live a life far exceedingly abundantly that than the world leaves. We could live a life that's altered in Jesus' name, and we could see our lives accelerate to places that we could never go on our own. Before we finish up, though, I do want to say this. The step number one tonight was this, admitting that you need to be altered. The very first thing that God wants to alter is he wants to alter you from doing it all on your own to you having a Savior. You were not put on this planet to lead your own life. You were actually given a Savior in Jesus. So if tonight you've never made the decision to become a Christian, to pray the sinner's prayer, to have repentance, to receive relationship with Jesus, then I would encourage you, don't let another night go where you are not in communion with God. It says in that scripture, God is knocking at your door. Can I encourage you, open the door tonight, invite Him in. We've got a bunch of leaders at the front here tonight. Come up, tell them you want to make a decision to become a Christian so they can pray a prayer with you. But I love you, church. Thank you for being here. Come on, let's continue to live an altered life in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.